Hi, listeners. I want to tell you about a cause that I'm involved with at Heritage Radio Network. HRN is celebrating its 15th year, and to celebrate, we're deepening our commitment to giving voice to the next generation of food system storytellers, and we need your help. Our internship and fellowship programs help activate new possibilities for underrepresented and underestimated young people through experiential journalism, audio engineering, and production training. Through these unique programs, HRN helps food equity stewards build essential workforce readiness skills that expand their potential and foster economic mobility. Please consider supporting these critical programs. And with a minimum donation, you can be entered to win a dinner for two at an amazing restaurant in one of eight cities and tickets to a concert at a great venue in one of those cities. We have incredible partners across the country who have donated, as they also share our passion for helping to educate the next generation of food system storytellers. Check out heritageradionetwork.org/15 to donate and enter to win today. That's heritageradionetwork.org/15 to donate and enter to win today. And make sure you donate before March 31st. Thank you.
Osiris.
Welcome to Wheels Off, a show about the messy reality of the creative life. I'm Rhett Miller.
That's when it got wheels off. We started up and we ain't gonna stop. Oh, I like you, like it or not. That's when it got wheels off.
Chris Turpin and Stephanie Jean are the band Ida May. They live in Nashville now, but they hail from the UK, which is whence they joined me. They were back visiting their family after a long time away from them during the pandemic, but they're gearing up to go out on the road to push their new record, Click Click Domino. I should point out right now that during the interview, I misidentified the name of the album as Clicking Dominoes, because their first album, Chasing Lights, made me think that they had the same OCD gene with which I'm afflicted, and that they had to have all their album names line up on a grid. But their new album is called Click Click Domino. I haven't heard all of it, but what I've heard is great, and it drops, I think, July 17th. Don't hold me to that. They're great, though. It's the first time I've interviewed more than one person at once. Not gonna lie, I was nervous about how it would go, and they were lovely. They couldn't have made it easier, and I'm so glad that I got to speak with them. In a lot of ways, for me, recording Wheels Off interviews is an excuse to go around and make new friends or reconnect with old friends, and in this case, it was the former, and I'm so glad that I've got a couple of new friends, Chris and Stephanie from Ida May. Please enjoy the conversation that we shared across the coasts for Wheels Off. Please welcome Ida May. Welcome to Wheels Off, Ida May, Chris and Stephanie. Thank you so much for joining me.
Thank you so much for having us.
Thanks for having us.
For the edification of our listeners, where are you guys right now?
We are currently in the wilds of the English countryside. We
nice.
Are just back from Nashville to visit family at the end of the pandemic. So here we are.
Does it feel good to be able to travel and see family?
It does.
It was nice to get back and see them. Yeah, it had been a while, you know.
Yeah, it does feel nice.
I just got to see my mom for the first time, and it was a very moving thing, you know.
Oh, that's lovely.
It is, yeah. And it was also quite a lot of novelty for us coming back from Nashville in America and seeing all the curiosities of the UK again and strange quirks of behaviour.
We're like tourists again. I was stopping and taking photos of like old walls and things like that. It's like, oh, it's so pretty.
Oh, man, I love that. So I'm excited about the new record, and that might be the answer to the first question, which is what creative project are you guys working on at the moment, and how is it lighting y'all up?
Mm-hmm. Well, we're working, I guess, at two accidentally simultaneously. So our new album, Click Click Domino, is out July 16th. I should know that off the back of my hand. And we finished that right at the beginning of the pandemic. We recorded in lockdown in Nashville and invited our friends over to make this record. And we didn't plan to self-produce it or make it that way, but the pandemic changed our plans. So here we were. And we've been slowly working on the videos and putting all that out across the last 6 months. And of course, we've started to write the third album already.
And we're also now getting to the point where shows are starting to come in. So now we realize we have to start trying to play the songs again. So we've been rehearsing quite a lot as well.
Yes, we have.
Yeah, that's always a weird time, right? When the new record is finished. Usually in the olden days, there would be a 4 month gap, right? The long lead time for the Vanity Fairs of the world. But you guys got stuck with a solid year gap, right? You finished the album and now you have to wait to see how the world responds to it. That's always nerve wracking. Is it for you?
It is nerve wracking, without a doubt. I mean, we made the choice. We just thought that, you know, this could be the end of the world. Who knows what's going to happen? So let's blow all the money that we have on recording equipment and just record now while things are kind of safe.
Also, while we were still, like, we'd just come off tour and our voices were still strong, we were like, we should record now, because if we wait and get stressed about the pandemic and the anxiety kicks in and our voices, we should just do it now while we're buzzing.
Just stop. Don't think about it. Do. So that's what we did. And it took us about, you know, just shy of 2 months to record. And it's actually been fantastic because it's kept us busy right across the pandemic. We were very lucky that we were at the end of our album cycle. I mean, we toured Chasing Lights for a year and a half, 2 years, just solidly. So, you know, we felt quite lucky that we were in a moment where we were, okay, now you have to go and hibernate. And it just so happened the rest of the world joined us. So, and then across the pandemic, we've been able to slowly feed these songs out. So it's kept us quite busy and a lot of communication with our fans, which has been nice through social media, and just slowly feeding, waterfalling the material out.
Yeah. You know?
So the lead time actually has been okay in that respect. Yeah. It's kept us busy.
And we've been doing a lot ourselves, like working on videos with friends, and I did all the artwork. And so we've been surprisingly busy.
That's so cool. And on top of that, you're writing for the next album already. Do you like it? Do the songs feel good? Are they pandemic scary?
I think they're some of the best songs I've ever written, actually.
You're doing good stuff.
We were getting close to a point of burnout, I think. So we needed to stop anyway. And just because we said yes to everything. Mm-hmm. From playing for Free Jeans all the way up to, you know.
Big supports,
The position we've worked our way towards now. So I think we needed to stop.
Although we'll still play for Free Jeans every time.
So, but we needed to recalibrate a little bit. And also it's just given us time to listen to an awful lot more music and practice and study a bit more, which when you're on the road, the kind of level of touring we're at, you don't have time. You're too busy driving a four-door sedan across, you know, Ohio for the 60th time or something.
I know it. I know it all too well. This is the first Wheels Off interview I've done. And I think this is maybe my 82nd or something, but they've never been with more than one person. And you guys seem like you're so, you're such a yin yang, you know, you're so intertwined in so many ways. But I wonder if we could really talk about the next things that usually we go to in these interviews, which tend to be very individualistic, if we could talk about them with regards to collaboration, which I think is such a big part of the creative process. And obviously, you guys are the living embodiment of that. I wonder, like, when you guys were starting your collaboration, was there a moment when you knew we click musically, like this is what was meant to be, we're going to be making music together for years and years? I mean, how did that happen?
Well, it's kind of an accident, we'll be honest. I was playing my own kind of solo shows and acoustic stuff and a lot of open mic nights, and Steph was doing more jazz recitals and that sort of thing.
When we were about 19,
We met in the city. We were studying kind of at college, university. And someone said to me, man, you've got to check out this Stephanie. She's like the female equivalent kind of what you're doing, you know, but better. Thanks, mate. And I agreed quickly. So that's what we ended up doing. And we got together and we sung and our voices just clicked.
They just blended, I think.
Quite easily. And Steph, that's a lot of that is on Steph's shoulders because she can harmonize much better than I can. So
I think you were the first person I'd ever sung with, really, as well.
Well, yeah, me too. I mean, we were kids, basically.
We didn't really think about it too much. And then we joined, we were in a rock band before this band, and we toured all over Europe and did that. And our voices just blended. I remember we had like one vocal lesson together at university before we all left and ran off around Europe. and the teacher was like, oh, your voices have this amazing blend. Like, that's really quite amazing. We were like, oh, great, cool, thanks. Yeah. And then we were like, never think about it again.
Just yeah.
And hope that it doesn't disappear.
Don't question it. I think the stranger thing is later on as well, it might, whether it's kind of natural to each of our own individual personalities or because we spent so much time together, but we're almost, you know, 98% of the time on the same page when it comes to artwork direction or what is cool in the studio or what is not cool or sounds or bands or records.
Yeah.
Pretty much the majority of the time, which makes things a lot easier.
Yeah.
You know, which is really, really strange. And I don't know whether that's because we've, like you said, spent so much time together making music since we were very young or just because we're wired that way. I don't know, or a bit of both. It is odd.
What about the songwriting? How does that work? Is it collaboration as well?
It's mainly Chris. He'll always be very generous to say I do more than I actually do. But Chris writes all the lyrics and then he'll bring songs to me and we'll do arrangements and things like that, won't we?
Yeah, so the song is kind of finished and Steph comes in as an editorial role. She's the director sort of nice. Thing. I don't like this, which works quite well.
And there's a really. Few more on this record that I wrote a little more of. But I used to write and then I met Chris and he was so great. I was like, you can do that bit. You're better than me.
It's the George Harrison problem, right?
Yes. Yeah. Well, maybe. I really couldn't say. But yeah, Steph's a great piano writer. So on this new album, there was a lot more songs that started from piano pieces, which then evolved into me singing melodies that then evolved yeah. into.
But all the lyrics are Chris until I come in and go, that doesn't make sense. What are you talking about? Simplify it.
So, yeah.
I felt like there was a lot of keys in the new stuff that I've heard. Like, it's really cool sounding.
Thank you very much. Thank you.
Yeah.
And I wonder how much of that comes as well from having to figure out how to record yourself and produce yourself. And that's kind of impressive that you did that. sorry, that's not a question. So when I think about what you guys have done in terms of, obviously, you know, like so many musicians, like me included, you know, giving up proper education and the chance at having a proper job with security. And then in y'all's case, you know, moving across the pond and relocating and traveling around America for all the time you have. I feel like one thing that stands out is that you seem very brave, right? Like you seem like you've taken a lot of leaps of faith. And I wonder when it comes to the sort of fears that come up, the maybe the second guessing, were these the right choices? The internally generated obstacles is the thing that I come back to in these conversations. Maybe you're beating yourself up. You're telling yourself you're not good enough. You know, you're playing for blue jeans, you know, whatever. I wonder, what have you guys figured out as a means to combat that, to overcome that?
I think it's getting harder now in the music industry for everyone to do what we do just because of you don't get paid very much anymore and you don't, you know, with Spotify, you don't get any money. So that always, that fine line between, oh, we're supporting in stadiums, but we don't have the income to show that is always confusing.
Yeah.
But I think in terms of the art, if you put that aside, because that's always, I feel like all musicians now, unless you're doing super well, are always on the edge of being like, maybe I should be a teacher. Maybe I should get a job now, constantly. But in terms of the art, I think it's easier for us because there's two of us. So we create a sort of bubble where we can just focus on what we're doing. And we've accepted that we're never going to be particularly commercial and like we don't write to radio or anything, you know, we're very much in our own bubble, which I think helps in terms of the sort of, what's the word I'm trying to find?
Well, I think as well, we were just very, very lucky in that we started when we were much younger, when the record industry had a bit more money still. So our early deals, we signed to, you know, major labels, and we traveled and we worked in big studios with big producers, and we just had this incredible experience. We didn't necessarily recoup or have any fans at the end of it, but we had that kind of introduction to this can be the music industry. And it also kind of cracked open the world for us, coming from a, you know, relatively working class background, and, you know, being able to travel the world and see all that was just, okay, this is pretty serious. And we've always managed to make kind of ends meet in what we do. And I think, like Steph said, because we've always been quite, we were never trying to make commercial records ever. And we were lucky to be signed by A&R men that appreciated that and saw that and valued that. I think it's harder, much, much harder now to do that and to create your own way. And I think as well, you know, further, I mean, creatively further on in our careers, meeting Ethan Johns, who was the producer on the first album, was, I think, kind of artistically and in our kind of, creative, modus operandi, like how we operate, you know, was important, because he doesn't care about the industry, he doesn't care about profit margins, he cares about it being really, really good. And again, like the kind of self-protectionism thing that Steph was talking about, because there's two of us, if we think it's good and we really, really care about it, we don't really care what anyone else thinks. I mean, we're going to be very, very honest there in that respect. We're making music for ourselves, and that hopefully in a kind of more classic songwriting and genre form, that it's relatively lasting and doesn't date or age. I mean, we almost tried to chase trains with them.
Once
with another record company and write to an A&R man's taste, and it was, you end up diluting what you do so much that it's not valuable to you and it's not valuable to them, and you kind of lose the initial moment why you were signed and they were interested in you and why you started writing in the first place. So in that respect, we're quite hardy, and we've been signed and bona fide and played with enough people that we, you know,
yeah, I think we always doubt everything, but we've played with enough of our own heroes. And even working with Ethan, we've always loved his records, and the fact that he wanted to make our record gave us some confidence in that actually, you know, even though you might not be rich and playing, selling out, whatever, what you're doing is of a certain quality and you should keep doing that.
Standard,
you know, and we've had enough people we respect tell us they like it and they think it's good to just about keep on that train.
And in terms of, I was just about to say about being on the road as well. Again, I think, and because of all of that, we just assumed everything would be okay. And we have been quite brave in terms of the travel on our own, you know, and that sort of thing, and just saying yes to everything. But that was kind of part of, well, my, you know, teenage dream, the Kerouacs and Raymond Carvers and stuff and the traveling. It was just kind of felt like, okay, this is where we're supposed to be and this is what we're supposed to be doing. So again, we didn't really question it or think about it.
Brave or stupid, I think.
Yeah. Think about it afterwards, yeah.
It's funny how much it comes up, the idea that if you create your art in a calculated manner to try and make someone, your A&R guy, for instance, happy, or the charts or the programmers, or it seems like that is a recipe for failure, right? Because it's going to inevitably stink of the desperation that went into its creation. And but I love hearing your description of it. But at the same time, I wonder if it's true that, you know, when you say we've resigned ourselves to the idea that it's never going to be whatever, like there, nobody's giant anymore. I mean, who's giant? Isbell? I mean,
yeah, it's a good point.
But even Jason, like I could find probably, I live in New York. I could find 7 out of 10 people who don't know who he is. And he's as big as it gets in our world. My sense, I'm going to give you just a little attaboy. My sense is that people love Chasing Lights and the Clicking Dominoes, the new record, is so great. And I just don't see any reason why it can't be the record that breaks through. And you know, there's no, what does it take? A song on a soundtrack? You know, one late night appearance where you smash a guitar. I don't know, whatever it takes.
Yeah.
Yeah, it's true.
There's no reason that it can't be you guys. And I think you're great. That's fantastic.
Oh, thank you very much. Thank you.
So I kind of like the fact that you guys are back in the UK right now, surrounded by, you know, the environs of your youth and the ghosts of your youth, because these interviews always wrap up for me in a place where I want you to imagine running into a 21-year-old version of yourself. Although at that point, you would already be working together. So maybe it's perfect. So if you were to run into a 21-year-old version of yourself in today's world, though, in 2021, what advice might you give yourself? And maybe for this one, if you don't mind, if you could just each answer individually. Don't hurt each other's feelings.
Don't marry him. Don't say yes.
21.
Do you want to go? I'm not entirely sure what I would say to myself.
I don't think myself would have listened to myself is the other issue.
Yeah. Yeah, that's probably true. I'd have probably told myself to buy a couple less guitars and to buy the good ones. Maybe something like that.
Life advice from Chris.
Yeah, mainly guitar based.
What would
quality over quantity.
Yes, exactly.
I think I would have told myself, well, I think I would tell myself what I always would tell myself anyway, which is to stop worrying about everything.
Stop worrying about everything.
But then maybe telling my 21 self maybe to worry a little bit more about certain things.
That is a really difficult question, because pretty much we've been operating in the same way since we were 21.
What does that say?
So what does that say?
Yeah, I think I would tell myself not to be, at that point though, I think I would tell myself not to be fooled by the grandeur of a free dinner.
Yeah.
You know,
don't believe the hype.
Don't believe the hype.
I think it was probably something along those lines. Because, I mean, at 21, we were probably putting out our first or second album, probably our first album. And we were just like, right, fame and fortune beckons. This
we're
is
gonna
it.
Be rich.
We're going to be famous. We're going to be muffins. This is it. See you later. Nice knowing you.
Yeah, so maybe don't believe the hype.
Also, probably don't believe the hype. I think that probably would have been it.
Yeah, I think so.
Yeah, I think that's the main... Really tricky. That's a really tricky question, because we haven't really grown up. We're always on the edge, but we still realise we're very much Peter Pan-like in that respect.
Oh, well, aren't we all? That's our job, right?
Yeah, exactly.
Well, yeah. I love that smack in the middle of a massive promo junket for your new album, your main message is don't believe the hype.
Perfect.
Management will be over the moon.
They'll be over the moon. We've nailed it again. It's so. So British stoicism.
It's very English as well, isn't it? I hope you like the record. I'm sorry if you think it's shit.
But I really don't care anyway. So, yeah, it's ridiculous.
Oh, I love it. Well, man, you guys are so great. And I feel really grateful that I got to speak with you. And I can't wait till maybe we can share a festival stage or something. Our paths will cross soon, I hope.
Absolutely.
I really hope so. Yeah. And thank you so much for having us and hanging out. And asking us good questions that we don't have answers for.
No, you did great. You answered perfectly. All right. Well, Chris and Stephanie, thank you guys so much. Good luck with the new record.
Thank you.
Thank you. Thanks so much.
All right. Thank you so much for listening to Wheels Off. Please be sure to rate and review the show on iTunes. That helps us appear higher in the search results and lets other folks know that it's a cool podcast to listen to. Also, as the kids say, don't forget to subscribe on iTunes, Stitcher, Google Play, or anywhere else that you listen to shows like this so that you never miss an episode. This has been Wheels Off, and I'm Rhett Miller, encouraging you to create every day. Thanks, y'all.
Osiris. Hey everyone, this is Tuck from Fit for a King, an off-road minivan. Every week I bring you fun interviews alongside your favorite metalcore entertainers with my new podcast, Get Tucked. Join me every Monday with bands like Counterparts, Crystal Lake, like Moths to Flames, and many more. We play unsigned and undiscovered bands, deep dive into each artist's history, and of course provide the greatest breakdowns in current metalcore. Tune in to Get Tucked every Monday, out now through Sound Talent Media.